Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues, the name of the program. I'm Tim Wildman. Pardon me while I adjust my seat. Is that a famous line from a movie?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
But you might have just made it famous.
Ed Vitagliano is with me to co-host today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson from the American Family Radio News Division.
Yes.
How you doing, Fred?
Doing wonderful on this beautiful winter day.
By the way, we got a, we get reaction back from our listeners via Facebook or calls or emails and such, and we value everybody's opinions and thoughts on the issues and or this program in particular. But some gentleman the other day, Fred and Ned, said that we talk about these issues and then we act happy. And he thought it was, we shouldn't be this way.
You mean we shouldn't joke around some or whatever?
Yeah, we should be. If we're going to talk about the end of the world as we know it, we need to be a little more somber and not move on to football after about a minute and a half. So, Ed, your thoughts on jerking people's chains?
No. Well, listen, I completely disagree with that because
that analysis.
The gentleman. I don't see anything in Scripture that says that we should be sour and dour. And
be happy while we're going down.
Listen, we're going to heaven. We're trying to take as many people as possible.
I'm talking about down on this earth. I'm kidding. No. You know what? You can't be down and dour. That's not all the time. I mean,
right.
There are times for somberness. There are times for sadness. There are times for absolutely be serious about what's going on, but you can't. The Bible says Christians are to be joyful.
Yes.
Right?
And plus
hopeful.
We need to understand we're making commentary here. That there's nothing wrong with making commentary and then moving on to another subject and realizing that what we say on this program isn't necessarily going to change the world. We're trying to inform people. And so,
right. But
Well,
it might change the world, right? I think we're underestimating ourselves here. What do you think, Fred?
Well, I think I hear all the time from listeners, too, that you're the only place, AFR, I didn't realize this.
Right.
Until I heard it on your program.
Right.
And
right.
It does have an impact on perhaps how they're looking at politics and the importance of, because there are some people out there that say Christians shouldn't be involved with politics.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, elections have consequences. Somebody said that once.
Yeah. I would just say this, too. Folks who are listening, everybody's personalities are different.
Right.
And so don't try I don't try to conform everyone around me to my particular personality. And so people listening shouldn't do the same to us.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people who doesn't like to laugh, you know, there are those people who have that kind of personality.
Right.
Don't expect us to be the same way.
I had one fellow tell me one time I met him in person. He said, I listen to AFR all the time. He said, when I first started listening to y'all, you know, you were doing your shows and the news and the and everything, and then you did the Trivia Friday. He said, and I got whiplash. And I was angry because I wanted to go get them again on Friday, by golly. Go take on those liberals on Friday.
Yeah. Then we won them over, though, right?
Huh?
We eventually won them over.
Yeah, now he loves Trivia Friday. So.
I had early in my ministry, I had some, I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes when I would preach, I would start off with a joke or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have some humor, you know, interspersed,
sure.
Just where it seemed natural while I was talking about something that, you know, my wife had done wrong.
Sure.
You know, those kind of things. And I had somebody early on in my ministry, it was a lady, and she's gone home to be with the Lord, I think. And anyway, she came up to me and she said, you shouldn't tell jokes from the pulpit. That's where God's word should be preached and you should be serious about it.
She said that to you?
She did.
Yeah.
Told her to go jump in a lake.
And then you said, no, I'm just joking.
I'm just joking.
you know.
So I early on I learned people have different personalities, and so I, you know, I didn't know. I said thank you very much, but I have to be the way I think God created me, and what He wants to change, He'll change. I'm open to it.
Well, we have all kind of programs on AFR. If you don't like this one, then 11:30. I bet you'll like that one.
You like that one right.
With Dr.
Good selection, good choices here.
Yeah, we have a lot of different personalities, a lot of different styles, but. The goal and objective here is to advance the Christian worldview.
Right.
And so when we talk about issues, this is, I think, this is the only program where we have three or four voices during the hour. But we're trying to talk about the news of the day and put it through the lens of the Christian worldview.
Amen.
Not every issue is easy to define in that way.
Right. You're right.
So that's our goal. That's our objective. Sometimes we miss. Sometimes... A lot of times we hit our target, I think. Anyway, that's what we desire to do here. We meet every morning at 8 o'clock or 8:30 to discuss the issues we're going to be talking about.
Right.
So we're prepared. So just wanted you to know that as a listener. Hey, if you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. If you would like to follow us on Facebook or YouTube, we do live video stream this show, and you can interact with other listeners. Go to Facebook or YouTube and just type in today's issues, and you can join us there for this program. Fred, what's the first topic today?
Well, let's start off with some good news.
All right.
I'm not sure if the name Kai Feldblum is a household name. Mm-hmm. Perhaps if you've been a longtime listener to American Family Radio, you've heard her name mentioned before. She was a very controversial member right up until recently of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. That was a commission that was set up basically to ensure non-discrimination in the job market, et cetera, et cetera. Well, she took it beyond that. She has had a track record now for many years as a member of this commission. Basically, she's been a believer in Christians, the rights of Christians, the religious rights of Christians should play no part in the workplace.
She's an open lesbian.
Open lesbian, and that homosexual rights ought to trump religious rights all the time.
And she has said that.
And
famously said that.
She believes in that. Well, the good news is she's no longer a member of that commission. Finally, she is being replaced thanks to some conservatives, Republicans in Washington. Perhaps, we're not sure yet, perhaps a more conservative voice will be nominated by Republicans. We believe that will happen. But that's a celebration. And Tim, the American Family Association, as I say for years now, has been putting out alerts about Kai Feldblum. Mm-hmm. And I think it's finally worked.
Well, she was in this position when the president took office.
Mm-hmm. President Obama first nominated
That's what
her
I'm saying.
To the EOC,
yes. So she was up for to re-up her post, so to speak, to stay on as chairman?
She was a commissioner.
Okay, commissioner.
On the EEOC.
On the EEOC. So, we put out an action alert, asked people to contact the White House, and the White House decided not to re-nominate her.
Mm-hmm.
So that is good news, and the White House responded. And this is consistent with President Trump's religious liberty platform that he ran on, because you have to make a decision, you have to make a choice, because we do have, and Kai Feldblum, the lady we're talking about here, she understands this fully well. Mm-hmm. What we got, she would say Jack Phillips, for example, the baker.
Yes.
In Colorado, she would say absolutely he must bank that cake for the homosexual wedding, or he will be driven out of business, mm-hmm. Fined or imprisoned or something like that. So she comes down on that side squarely. That's what she means, mm-hmm. that Christians have no rights over if they come in conflict with sexual liberty.
Yeah,
so
she said I can think of no. No situation in which religious liberty, if it comes in conflict with sexual rights, homosexual gender, should triumph.
So that was pretty serious. We weighed in with the president and the White House, as did others, some of our friends and colleagues. So great news to report right there. Her she will not be on that commission any longer.
So that's a win. We like
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's a win. We won. We won, and we thank the President and the White House for taking this action. Yes.
While still kind of on this topic, though, you know, we talked about elections have consequences. As most people are aware, in the election last fall, there was a change in government in Michigan. Michigan had a very conservative governor, Rick Snyder. He's no longer governor there. The new governor is Gretchen Whitmer, a Democrat. And she has already backed away from a commitment to religious freedom that Governor Snyder made in their non-discrimination policy. And one of the things that he did specifically was that faith-based groups would not be subject to some of the discrimination laws with regards to contracts, being able to bid on contracts for the state government. And he basically said, your religious beliefs will not keep you from trying to get a government contract. Well, the new Democrat governor, Gretchen Whitmer, that's one of the first things she did when she came into office just a few days ago. She removed that by executive order. She removed that. So now in Michigan, that when contracts are put out for bid for state governor, the state contracts, that they will start looking at where does a company stand on the issue of homosexuality, transgenderism, etc.
You better pay attention, Christians. I'm just telling you, you better pay attention. This is the divide that is occurring in our country. Mm-hmm. And religious liberty, when it comes in conflict with the sexual revolution, I'll say more broadly, because we're already moving past the lesbian and gay part of it to the transgender part of it. Mm-hmm. Religious liberty means nothing to the secular left and the progressive left in this country.
Yeah.
They would just as soon every Christian shut up, leave the public square, worship in your church until we decide otherwise.
Yeah.
I 10 years ago, I might not have said that. I might have said, well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. I can't believe, blah, 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 blah. No, I believe that is exactly where these radicals are. Mm-hmm. And Christians out there, you better be paying attention because this kind of thing is coming to your public school.
Yes.
And we'll talk about later with the American Psychological Association or Psychiatric Association. I'm not sure which APA it was. Just released its guidelines on masculinity. I mean, this is an all-out war on God's created order, and Christians better be paying attention, and they better be involved.
Yeah, and a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, it's not a major thing. Well, why was it one of the first things this new Democrat governor of Michigan did?
Right.
Why is it? Because it's a priority for the Democrats.
And why did Nancy Pelosi say, if we get we win back the House, as Speaker of the House, the first thing I'll do is pass the Equality Act, which is a national version of these non-discrimination. I'm telling you, they are all in for the sexual revolution. Mm-hmm. And if you think this isn't going to impact you and your church or your family or your kids, you just haven't been paying attention, and you're going to get a rude awakening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. Next story, Fred.
All right. As most people are now aware, President Trump last night gave his very first since coming into office his address to the nation from the Oval Office, much talked about leading up to it. And, of course, the subject was his belief that we need to do something about the porous southern border, and making his arguments once again that we have a crisis on our southern border and we need to do something, a number of things, including building a wall, a barrier. He's changed the language there a little bit to try to appease the Democrats, which, of course, is not going to happen. Now, one of the things that Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, has said is that the wall is immoral. And that's one of the things the President, in his brief address last night, he talked about that. Cut number one.
Some have suggested a barrier is immoral. Then why do wealthy politicians build walls, fences, and gates around their homes? They don't build walls because they hate the people on the outside, but because they love the people on the inside. The only thing that is immoral is the politicians to do nothing and continue to allow more innocent people to be so horribly victimized. How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job? To those who refuse to compromise in the name of border security, I would ask, imagine if it was your child, your husband, or your wife, whose life was so cruelly shattered and totally broken.
And the president, in that portion of his speech last night, gave some very specific examples of Americans recently who have been killed by illegal immigrants, including that police officer in California.
Ronald Singh.
And so that was part of his speech last night. Well, the networks did their duty, and they gave the Democrats some equal time. And
but now, who carried the president's speech?
Most of the major networks did.
Yeah, to their credit, I would say, because it would have been. I was surprised. I thought this would only be carried by the news networks, CNN, CNBC, and Fox. That's what we were predicting, but they carried it on NBC. Is that right?
Yeah, they carried it across the other networks.
Oh, did? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They did. But I think the main reason they did that because they wanted to give Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer some airtime as well.
Yeah, and they are a dynamic duo. You know, they're effervescent.
They are exciting to
their
watch.
Their TV personalities just explode on the screen when you see them. And so I think you're right, Fred. That's what...
You know, one of the memes, we'll get back to the story, one of the memes that went out after, because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi spoke side by side at the podium.
Yeah.
Some people are sending out the memes of the old Iowa couple, you know, the guy with the pitchfork next to his wife, very somber.
Yes.
And it really, they were standing in the same position.
Yeah, I know.
It was pretty funny.
Anyway, this is a little bit of what Nancy Pelosi had to say.
Do we
in
have
the way
to, Fred?
Response.
I don't know.
You think we need to be fair?
Fair and balanced.
Okay, let's hear it.
Let's give a little bit. Cut two.
We can build the infrastructure and roads at our ports of entry. We can install new technology to scan cars and trucks for drugs coming into our nation. We can hire the personnel we need to facilitate trade and immigration at the border. We can fund more innovation to detect unauthorized crossings. The fact is, the women and children at the border are not a security threat. They are a humanitarian challenge,
right,
a challenge that President Trump's own cruel and counterproductive policies have only deepened.
So that was Nancy. You know,
what is she talking about?
What
really,
what
is she talking about? Cruel, what did she say?
Cruel and
play that again.
Misguided policies?
Play that again. Inhumane, I think she said.
We can build the infrastructure and roads at our ports of entry. We can install new technology to scan cars and trucks for drugs coming into our nation. We can hire the personnel we need to facilitate trade and immigration at the border. We can fund more innovation to detect unauthorized crossings. The fact is, the women and children at the border are not a security threat. They are a humanitarian challenge, a challenge that President Trump's own cruel and counterproductive policies have only deepened.
Counterproductive policy. Yeah. What's she talking about, Ed?
I guess she's talking about the policies of the president towards Latin America, I guess, the trade policies with Mexico. I don't know what else.
Is she saying that the women and children at the border are not a – what is she saying?
Not a security threat.
She says,
humanitarian challenge.
Basically, what she is saying is that when women and children approach the border, we should be letting these people in.
Gotcha.
We shouldn't be putting – allow them – by law now –
That's discriminatory against men, by the way, I would just say.
Mm-hmm.
If you care about equal access, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just say only women. I mean, that's a stereotype of men to say women and children are no security threat, but men are.
Two things. Nancy Pelosi, of course, did not say wall because she doesn't want a wall.
Right.
But a wall would discourage people from trying to come into this country.
Right.
So you wouldn't have these caravans coming forward. That's the issue.
Let me ask you this, Ed. You said this morning in our meeting that you thought this was an effective. An effective response from Nancy Pelosi
and Chuck Schumer
to the president's.
Now
position.
I'm not defending their position, but I think what they said was effective, and
okay.
Here's why: because it was sleight of hand, And so anything they could do to get the attention of the viewer off what President Trump said onto what their position was. So you heard things like manufactured crisis. This is why Nancy Pelosi, all this was, was worked out in advance. Schumer and Pelosi, you take this, I'll take this. So you have manufactured crisis. Women and children are not a security threat. So they're placing the image of these poor women and kids back in the minds of the viewers off of MS-13, off of coyotes, off of drug gangs. They said, listen, we are all for securing our borders. And they had all these other things, this laundry list of things they wanted. Like she just listed. Implying we can solve the problem without the wall. And then they hit very hard the fact that government workers, including veterans, this point was made, are suffering because of President Trump's cruel policies, so on and so forth. So they tried to, and I think they were effective, blur the reasons for the wall that President Trump was trying to, and then put the focus back on the government shutdown. That's why Chuck Schumer said, in his response, hey, listen, we're open to talk. Let us just all get together and talk. But you got to shut down. You got to put the government back to work. Stop causing it. I thought that was very effective because all they have to do is stall. All the Democrats have to do is stall. The longer this government shutdown goes on, the more people will become frustrated with the president and the more Republican support will erode. And what Schumer and Pelosi want is to destroy this president. And they think this is the way to do it.
You know what's sad about what Ed just said, that it's effective? It's effective because people don't know what really is going on.
Right.
They can lie. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer can lie. And the people just don't know. I want you to listen. We heard what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer had to say last night. They denounced anything the president is trying to do to secure our southern border.
We got a minute and a half before the break.
All right.
Time to play it.
I want you to listen to Chuck Schumer in 2009.
Right.
What he had to say about the problems on our southern border. Cut six.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong, and we have to change it. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
Chuck Schumer.
That is verbatim.
He goes on. He gets even stronger on this issue later on in 2009.
Do we have time to hear some more of that?
I don't know how long.
30 seconds. 30 seconds. Okay. Cut six.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong, and we have to change it. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
That was the same clip. Do
we not have more from that speech? Do we have any more of that?
Well, perhaps can find it during the
break. You see what's going on here.
When Fred says lie, that's exactly what's going on.
Chuck Schumer is a liar.
That they are lying, and the only reason they have switched their policy, their position, is because Donald Trump is in favor of a wall.
I would say this if it were a Republican doing it.
Right.
Too. If a Republican was doing what they're doing, you would have to call them out for being dishonest.
Yes.
Yeah. And that this is raw politics.
Right. And they believe they can win this fight against Trump and see his re-election
go down.
Do
they believe what he just said now? What we just heard, or does he believe what he believes today? We'll talk about that more when we get back. I know the answer, but we'll be back.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Joyce M. Bartholomew for Preborn.
You are just this tiny little thing that he loves. Jesus actually came and died on the cross for my sins so that I could go to heaven. He loves you and me that much.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Who said this? Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I was quoting none other than George Washington, our first president and father of our country, who said specifically that religion and morality are indispensable supports for our government and our culture. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, in June and September. If you'd like more information on this, please go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We'll also be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. If you'd like to do both tours or one or the other, that's fine. For all the information, again, June and September, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. We'd love to have you during these 2019 tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
Ruth Benjamin of Marshall, Illinois says the secret to a long life is bacon and potatoes. Now, before you turn off your radio, hear me out. Miss Benjamin knows what she's talking about. She just turned 109. Miss Benjamin tells WGN she eats potatoes every day, mashed, baked, French fried, you name it. She also loves bacon and sauerkraut. So did Susanna Jones. She lived to be 116. Miss Jones swore by bacon, four strips every morning along with grits and eggs. But there's a bit more to the story, according to the medical experts. Dr. Jim Turner says Miss Benjamin never drank, never smoked, had a wonderful marriage, loving family. The good doctor says happiness is the key to her longevity, not necessarily bacon. But if happiness leads to a long life and bacon makes you happy, well, I say enjoy a few extra slices. Just double up on the cholesterol meds. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you missed it, we played the comments from Senator Chuck Schumer from 2009, a couple of minutes ago, where he was stronger on border security than President Trump. And his language was very direct. He said, right. Don't call them undocumented.
Right.
That
call them illegal aliens.
Call them illegal aliens. This was Chuck Schumer, 2009. And today he says a border is immoral. A border wall is immoral. So
I guarantee if you asked Chuck Schumer about that.
Give him truth serum?
Yeah. Truth serum. He would, what he would do, he'd say, I did say that. I regret that. I have since learned that these illegal immigrants, that this is a humanitarian crisis. You're never going to get a straight answer from these folks because it's not about the facts. It is about gaining power, which in this case means destroying President Trump, gaining power to turn this into a socialist country.
What you're saying,
period.
He would do today what Barack Obama did.
On
gay marriage.
I evolved.
Yeah, I evolved.
Yeah. That's what you're going to get.
Well, that was just strong stuff there from Chuck Schumer about, he could have been Trump's campaign manager a couple years ago. Huh?
Yeah.
So, he was right. And what changed with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Democrats is that Donald Trump became president.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if we can get back to, you can't even have an honest discussion today about issues anymore because the Democrats and the so-called progressives, their mode is transform America.
Right.
That's what President Obama said, right?
Fundamentally transform America.
So if you want to fundamentally transform America, and by that I mean they're going to shoot now for single-payer health care, outright socialized medicine. They're not going for Obamacare anymore. Right. And New York and California are going to lead the way.
New York City.
They're going to lead the way on this. they won't. We got some of their folks talking about 70% income tax.
Yeah, that was Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes, and she represents the new wing, or the new side.
I believe represents the direction.
And Bernie Sanders would be in that league too, and he almost won the Democratic nomination. So these folks see this as their moment in time to transform America to a European country.
Yes,
basically,
Western democratic socialist country.
Right,
secular.
Yes,
secular.
They would.
Well,
they would hem in and dispense with the kinds of religious liberties that we have come to expect in this country.
They would, if they had their way, they would take away the First Amendment, or at least
for religious people.
Well, no, also for speech. The First Amendment protects speech and religious liberty, and the freedom of the press.
I don't think they'd be against freedom of the press.
Oh, I think they would.
They would be for conservatives, maybe.
Yes.
No. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Right. I'm saying that. Look at Google, Facebook, and
true. And absolutely, I agree.
Okay. Folks, they view it as a righteous cause to shut down conservative or Christian media.
Right.
Yes. That's why they went after Alex. Is it Alex Jones?
Alex Jones.
I do not know much about Mr. Jones. I mean, I know people who listen to his program. And he's out there, I guess, with his.
I think he's got like some. I don't know much.
Conspiratorial.
He's got some conspiracy.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I frankly don't know a lot about Alex Jones, but he's a voice in the American.
Has a lot of followers.
Media. Is he calling for violence against people?
No.
His views. His views are what got him censored.
Yes.
By all these Google, Amazon, all of them, they shut him down. I think that was a test case, all right? That was a test case. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying all these people sit in the same room with a your back room somewhere with, you know, a smoke-filled room. I'm saying they all come from the same worldview.
Right.
That is a secular, progressive worldview that dominates the big media and the big tech giants today. And so they view it as a righteous cause to shut down. So Alex Jones was a test case. If he gets, you know,
right,
if they can do him that way, then they're going to come after American Family,
right?
Or they're going to come after Focus on the Family, or you know what I'm saying,
right.
Or a Heritage Foundation, or Family Research Council, or some other media.
Start painting with a broader brush,
and that's hard to do. It's not easy to do, but I'm just saying that's kind of what they would like to do in their
I believe that
perfect worldview.
I believe that.
So anyway, that's why they call President Trump. That's why they hate President Trump, because he stands for the traditional American way of government and Constitution. He's not always perfect in anything, and traditions.
Right.
Traditions and the Constitution and conservative values. And they hate that. They thought Hillary was their moment in time to completely take over.
Right.
And she lost. And they now, you know, they've got to.
And she lost to that guy.
Yeah, and they got to make sure he doesn't win
2 years
from now. So that's why Schumer and Pelosi get up every morning and say, what is Trump for? We're against it.
Even if we were for it.
Yes, yes.
Several years ago.
Yes, because we must damage him every day.
Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stephen McDowell is with us now. Stephen is president and founder of the Providence Foundation. And Stephen and I have been doing these spiritual heritage tours for nearly two decades together to Washington, D.C. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on back-to-back tours, D.C., Mount Vernon, then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. But Stephen joins us now. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. So you're in sunny Florida today, are you?
Well, I'm sitting in the middle of a game reserve on Sanibel Island talking to you.
You're in the middle of a game? What game are you playing?
Yeah.
Oh, a game reserve.
A lot of birds, the wild birds.
Okay, you're looking at birds. I got you. Okay.
That's right.
Well, hey, what do you think about what we just talked about? I know you've studied and written about American history a lot, and you write on contemporary issues too today. Where are we? This secular progressive juggernaut, they want to crush Christians and conservatives and basically put our worldview out of business.
Well, you know, as you were talking, what came to my mind is the founders of America understood that the people must be virtuous, you know, moral. Morality is essential for any free people. And when the French had their revolution just a little bit after America's revolution, they used the term virtue. Yes, virtue, liberty, for, you know, equality. But the French thought the people could be virtuous apart from God. Washington, in his farewell address, said, look, we need virtue, but don't think that people can be virtuous on their own if they reject Christianity. So to the founders of America, the reason their virtue didn't change with political winds like you were mentioning Schumer did is because their virtue, their worldview, their principles were rooted in truth of the Christian religion, and that truth is always the same. It doesn't change because it's rooted in the absolute of an eternal God. So that's the big difference. It's, you know, these modern liberals who are devoid of truth. You know, the Declaration says we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created. So the founders believed in creator-endowed truth. Today, unfortunately, most Americans don't have that concept of truth. Truth is whatever we want it to be. If it, you know, helps us at this time, we believe this. And if that somehow changes, we can abandon that truth very readily because it's not rooted in, you know, the absolute of God.
Stephen, this is Ed Vitagliano. Do you think that it's fair to say that what secular progressives want is the triumph in our country of the French Revolution over our own American Revolution? You think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think, you know, there's a huge difference in the French and the American Revolution. The American Revolution was rooted in Christianity and biblical ideas and values. That's why it lasted. It's remained for, 225-plus years. The French Revolution was rooted in secular humanism. In fact, it says that in the French Declaration of Rights, that really the rights emanate from the people in the government. So the government is the source of rights, the source of truth to the French, and many Western nations and nations of the world really embrace the French revolutionary ideas today. America was unique. It was rooted in, you know, biblical absolutes. And if we abandon that foundation, then we're not anchored to anything. You know, we can just float here and there, and we see that. We see the floodgates opening to all kinds of illogical, strange ideas. And it's because we've abandoned the truth. So, yes, I agree with you.
Stephen, is there one book you've written that could help people grasp what we've been talking about the last few minutes better than others? Or what would you go ahead.
I would recommend America's Providential History because it covers much more than history. It covers the biblical principles of government, law, education, these worldview principles. You know, what did the founders look to build this unique, exceptional nation? And so that, I think, would be a great introduction and overview and a look at some of the stuff we'll see on our Christian History Tour and why, you know, we're getting in the mess we are today. So
yeah,
that's what I would recommend.
That's the title of that book that Stephen wrote. You co-authored that, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, America's Providential History is the title of it. Excellent book. It's a bestseller. It's used by the Christian schools and homeschoolers all over America, America's Providential History. Just go to Stephen's website.
It's providencefoundation.com.
Providencefoundation.com. Stephen McDowell, our guest. I tell you what, when you get back home, we'll talk more. I wanted you to have you on to talk about what we'll be seeing in Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on our tours, but let's do that when we have a better connection. You're out in some bird sanctuary.
I'm looking at some giant white pelicans and egrets and a lot of fun stuff.
Giant pelicans and what?
Egrets.
Egrets and ibises and cormorants.
You're losing me, man. You're losing me. And if you want to talk about the Falcons and the Saints, and
we're examining God's great creation. God's an imaginative person. Breeds inspiration.
Yeah.
An egret, Tim, is when you feel badly about something that you've done.
Yeah.
Okay. Say, Stephen, we'll talk to you when you get home about our tour. Okay.
All right. Sounds great, guys.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Okay.
Come on, that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Well, you have those moments in life where you're put on the spot publicly, and with radio, this happens. And I'm sitting here looking at everybody else in the room. They know what he's talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Stephen acts like everybody ought to know what you're talking about. I know what a pelican is.
Right.
But I don't know what a regret is.
Egret. Huh? If you get out of Florida, you've driven to Florida.
I've been to Florida,
And you're going through pasture land.
Yeah.
You will see these white birds.
Big, tall legs.
Yeah, they're egrets.
You mean like a crane?
Yes. Well, they're a little, I think they're a little shorter than a crane, but they're like a crane, and they got long legs, and they're always paring down. And
they're miniature cranes.
I don't know if they're
size-wise. You see them a lot in pasture land.
Okay.
Down in Florida.
Okay.
They kind of have the poofy hair.
The stick legs?
I believe so, right?
They got two legs.
What are they called again? I'm on
egret.
Egret. Egret.
So here, Stephen said that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Right. Now, right?
Egrets.
Yeah.
And
the
and giant. That's why I did the joke. With
was
the
a giant.
Regrets.
It was a funny joke. Yeah. The giant pelican. Isn't what he
pelicans
said.
Pelicans are vicious. I've seen a video. They are. My friend's laughing.
Really?
I saw a video at a park with a bunch of kids and stuff. Pelican walks up, eats a duck, a baby duck, right in front of these kids. I'm telling you, they will eat whatever they can get into their bill.
What is that they have there?
That big bill down?
Yeah.
Kind of like
storage
the
area.
Extra chins that you get when you get older.
I wouldn't know about that. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, my wife was commenting on Steve Irwin, you know, the crocodile hunter. You remember him? You know, he passed away because... Mm-hmm. And he was out swimming with a stingray or something.
And got stung, right through the chest.
Through the heart and everything. But anyway, she said she saw his son on TV the other day.
We used to watch
a crocodile hunter back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, the day was 15, 20 years ago. But she said it looks just like him.
Yeah, son and daughter. They both do some kind of show together.
And they do that same kind of
thing. Same kind of thing, I think.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. By the way, Stephen, who you just heard there, Stephen McDowell, and I will be going back to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. That's the home of George Washington. That's one tour, and then we're going on a separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And we're doing these in June and September, and they sell out. We'll be full 3 months in advance, and we're going in June and September of this year. And if you want more information on these tours, I won't go over the whole itinerary or agenda, but if you just want to read all about the tours, go to www.spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. Would love to have you and a lot of our other listeners for our June or September tours to D.C. or Williamsburg. Abraham Hamilton III is with us. Abe is public policy analyst for American Family Association, and he's also a constitutional lawyer, and he hosts the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here Monday through Friday on American Family Radio from 5:05 Central to 6 o'clock. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim. How are you? I don't have any egrets being on the show.
Did you know? Did you know what these birds were?
From New Orleans.
Yeah.
Louisiana. Oh, they have in South Louisiana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on the one hand, I felt ignorant, you know. On the other hand, I learned something today.
There you go.
So I'm gonna take the positive view of this.
Right there. There you go. Like a heron.
Let me see.
A heron.
Let me go.
Heron.
Pardon me, folks, while I go over here and look. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen those birds before. You call them, well, call, heron. H-E-R-O-N.
Yes.
Well, if you'd have called them a heron, I would have known what it was. But that's the same thing as a.
That's not Moses' brother, by the way.
Hey, now that was good. I liked
it. Thank you, Abe.
I'm following up on Ed's.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Some of which are some herons are referred to as egrets or bitterns rather than herons.
They're bitter birds, are they?
You know, it looks that way. Bitterns.
Bitterns.
Mm. There's old bitterns.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that'll cut short their life if they can't maintain that bitterness.
My wife loves herons. She really does. She loves seeing them.
Oh, out in the wild.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
Abe. Good morning to you.
Good morning again.
Hey, but let me ask you something here. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a Supreme Court justice. She is the most liberal member. So conservatives would like to see her off the court, right? Now, she, but Supreme Court justices have a lifetime appointment. Now, she's been sick with cancer and other things, and so now, as it turns out, she's at home while the court is hearing cases.
After surgery to remove some lung cancer.
Yes. Right. Now, the question is, can a Supreme Court justice rule on a case that is be one of the nine votes if, in fact, she is not at the Supreme Court physically to hear the oral arguments? What is the...
She is not supposed to rule on any matter that she has not participated in the arguments and the deliberations
physically.
For the case physically.
Okay, because what if we have all nine people sick at home and they can just do it from, you know, while they flip channels?
No.
Have a virtual Supreme Court.
Which is part of the reason why you have to have justices on the bench.
Okay.
The arguments.
So I guess the question are we entering into uncharted territory? Is who's going to decide whether Ruth Bader Ginsburg can have a vote if she's not going to participate in the oral arguments? Or is that something that's already written in the Supreme Court rules?
It would be Supreme Court rules, and it will be up to Chief Justice John Roberts to enforce those rules. I have a sneaking suspicion. Because in the reporting of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's, I would say, judicial incapacity.
Home.
Yeah, they wrote that, she's reviewing briefs and arguments while away from the bench. And red flag immediately went up. Say, wait a minute. There's a reason why these materials are not sent home in the first place, not least of which include all kinds of security things and all those sorts of concerns. But I thought, are these people trying to lay a foundation to allow her to rule without having participated in the arguments?
Mm.
That would be a violation.
Because you're supposed to participate, even if you say nothing. I think Clarence Thomas is generally one of the quieter members. But you're supposed to be watching the interaction
That's
between
right.
justices mm-hmm. and the attorneys
and the
from
attorneys.
Both sides. You read their faces. You read their mannerisms. Not just their words. If somebody's asked a question by a Supreme Court justice, well, why isn't this true over here and over here? And they hem and they haw, and they clearly don't have an answer, but they manage to get words out, and all you see are the words on a brief. That's not the same thing.
That's exactly
so we
right.
don't know. We don't know what's going to happen here, but it sounds like we don't know. But why would you be?
It should happen, but whether or not what should happen is going to happen.
So that would be up to the Chief Justice to enforce the rules.
Yes.
I can't imagine. Well, you know, to her credit, in quotes, and I'm, you know, complete opposite of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I wish she wasn't on the Supreme Court. But she does show up for work.
Yes.
Yes.
25 years, she's never missed oral arguments before.
No.
So this is a first for
yes.
her. Now, so we'll see what happens with this, but I wanted to ask you about that because it seems to me like, you know, you would have to as you guys say, go and hear the oral arguments if you're going to vote on a case and not just be able to do it from your hospital bed or your home. That seems like something everybody could agree upon. Now, if she's not able to vote, you're talking about the conservatives having a clear majority in most of these decisions, true?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't say anything definitively anymore concerning the Supreme Court. But hopefully with the fact that you have Gorsuch, Kavanaugh.
I should say constitutionalist. It's not just conservative v. liberal.
Yeah.
It's what, and they don't always agree, these justices. But anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, what would happen? Let me ask you this question, then we can move on to the next topic. What would happen if, in the midst of what we got going on in Washington, D.C., if Ruth Bader Ginsburg resigns, or if she, let's say she dies, you know, before President Trump in the next, you know, few months? I mean, this would be a, that then would become the big issue.
Be huge.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi would faint.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer, I'm not sure he'd have to be hospitalized, because that's the last thing the Democrats want.
Yeah.
Is for Ginsburg to retire or pass away.
People are wanting to donate organs for her.
Oh. Literally, that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
The, I mean, the liberals slash progressives slash Abe's regressives, they got to have her. Mm-hmm. They need her to hang on.
And this
is
a perfect example of who she is. And with the latest news about her health, I was just reading up on some things in the past, and you see the short quote Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying she'll serve as long as she's able to. But the entire quote comes from a question she was asked as to why she didn't retire during President Obama's administration. And she said, considering the makeup of the Senate as it is, can you imagine anyone like me being confirmed in the Senate? This is in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one better. This is what she said. There's no one better to do what I do on the court that President Obama could have confirmed other than me. So I will stay on the court as long as I'm able to.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea. She literally is saying, she is literally saying there's nobody who is as liberal as I am who can get confirmed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she cited the fact that she was confirmed like 93-4 or something like that. No one could get through the confirmation process, so I have to stay on the bench.
Now, to be fair, Justice Anthony Kennedy also appeared to, from what we read, have some political considerations.
Sure.
He wanted to retire during the administration of a Republican. So there is some of that, and because these folks are appointed, and they have their own views. They are appointed by a president of one particular party or another. But it's clear that Justice Ginsburg, who's, like you said, Tim, I'll say this, she is a tough lady. Because it's hard to survive colon. Didn't she have colon cancer?
I don't know if it was colon cancer or not, but she had two previous bouts with cancer.
I mean, she is tough to have come through all that and still be going. So
I'm going to
look that up, see what she had.
What do you got, Fred?
Very quickly, Abe reports this morning, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is on his way out. The belief is that the president's new attorney general, which we think will be William Barr, will want his own person in that position. Rosenstein's been seen as a supporter of Mueller. Do you see any big changes going on in that?
Potentially, yes, I do. And I don't blame William Barr if he comes in, considering all the information we have about the deep state. Wouldn't you want to have a fresh team if you were coming in at such a high-level position?
Yeah.
Especially seeing how the previous AG tenure flamed out?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I do think it will affect the Mueller investigation.
Okay.
And it was colon cancer.
Ginsburg.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, thank you.
Good to be here.
Check out our news site, folks, that Fred oversees. OneNewsNow.com. OneNewsNow.com. Abe, thank you for your contributions to this program.
No problem. Thank you.
And Ed's contributions, including names of...
No regrets.
Including names of different types of birds, will continue
yeah.
in 5 minutes when we rejoin you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.